All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing upon us, Father. Help us to do your will. Lord, fill us with your spirit. Give us wisdom. Help us to apply these words that you give us, Father, to our lives. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Galatians. Again, in chapter 5, verse 25. Thinking about the boys' lesson this morning in Matthew chapter 5, and it's a blessing that how Jesus, as he began to teach what he taught, first he taught the Beatitudes. He gave us the Beatitudes before he just gave us a bunch of rules. And I think a lot of times the focus of our religion is just so self-centered. And we're so concerned about ourselves. And it's just a blessing that's the way to overcome those things is to deny ourselves and do things the Lord's way. Doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. It doesn't always mean everything is going to turn out the way we think it should. But that's where the comfort that Jesus offers, that blessed are, Mike gave the example of blessed are the poor in spirit. And that's someone who's been defeated almost. The idea that he had on that this morning is someone that's been hurt and wounded. I mean, we think of battles in the physical sense. You know, we know of battles and people have wars and there's people get wounded. And in the spiritual sense, it's the same way. We're in a war. And our goal is to persevere till the end. And along the way, we take hits. We get shot at. We get beat up. And there's times that we go through our lives that we become poor in the spirit. We become poor in spirit. But, you know, a lot of times we see these that are always up and always everything's just going well. But the promise to those who are poor in spirit is the kingdom of God. And so it's not about our always about our ability to just appear on fire for the Lord, as we would say, or everything just always going just well, but it's staying in the battle even when we're beat up. That's why I wanted to read these verses here, and starting in Galatians, or in chapter 5, just the end of it. Well, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. But there's the opposite of walking in the Spirit. A lot of times we think that we're doing well, and the very first thing that happens to us is when we begin doing well, usually, is we get all puffed up. We get all full of pride. One of the symptoms of pride is one of the boys talked about this morning about failing and then getting all gloomy about our failing. Guilt is a terrible thing. That's why we can look to Jesus for relief from guilt. And we our idea of Christianity is performing well. And if we perform well, we're up and we're high and everything's just going well. And we think we've really got it going on. And that's our idea of what it means to be successful, because we're living above the world. Nothing's bothering us. We're just going right along. And so we think we're really doing well. But it's not when we're flying high that's not where the test is. What happens is we get flying high, and then we realize that we fail. And that plunges us into a gloom because we failed. And part of the reason of that is because all the time we were flying, we were just flying on our own in the first place. We weren't even walking with the Lord. We weren't relying on Him. We were just simply doing out of our own strength. And then we fail in our own strength, and we realize we failed. And then we get mad at ourselves because we failed. And because we expect more of ourselves. We're proud of ourselves, and we think we should be above all of these things. And so when we fail is when we really kick ourselves and we really get down and out. Because we had a false expectation that we were really able to do something on our own. We had a false expectation that we were able to really be up there and be in our own strength. And then we fail. What happens is it's our pride that's hurt. Doesn't necessarily produce a true humility, repentance to where we fix anything. We just want to do better because we want to perform better next time. That's where it means blessed are the poor in spirit. They're not necessarily expecting a lot out of themselves. The poor in spirit. Someone that's full of spirit and full of pride expects a lot out of themselves. But those who don't really expect all that much out of themselves are poor in spirit. And you know what? They're able just to walk along, keep on going, not up and down at their performance, but just humbly keeping at a steady pace, not expecting anything great out of themselves, just walking with the Lord. And they're able to keep on doing that. But that up and down, that a lot of it is just this pride in ourselves that wants to perform like we're going to impress someone. What happens is, whenever we're living in that level, we start looking down. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another and envying one another. That's the next step of this pride. We begin to look around at others and say, well, boy, I'm doing better than they are. We would never say that in our mind. You know, we would never just come out and say it that way. But, boy, we do a lot better than the rest of everybody else. We just see everybody else's weaknesses and their failures. And it's just easy to pick them apart. And it makes us, like many of the boys brought out, you know, we tear down others so we can make ourselves bigger and better. And that's worthless. That's opposite of being spiritual. Being poor in spirit. That's the opposite of that. Because whenever we're proud of ourselves and we think we're really doing something and nobody else quite measures up to what we're doing, we're boastful. That's rich in spirit. That's plentiful in spirit. But it's the wrong spirit. But poor in spirit is able to just do right and walk humbly with your God. Not worried about what everybody else is doing. not worried about whether I'm better or doing better than someone else. And in this verse, chapter 6, in verse 1, it kind of gives us some more instruction here. It says, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in the regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one must bear his own load. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted." You know, it's easy for us to have the idea that this level of perfection is what Christianity is all about. That the church is supposed to be full of all perfect people. Just everybody just performing splendidly. And we think of that as a perfect church. But a perfect church has people with problems in it. And those who are spiritual are able to actually help those people and work with and have patience and be gentle with those people who have problems. Some of us don't like to be the one having problems. Nobody likes to be the one having problems. But that's part of it. That's just as much God's will as to be the one that's helping someone with problems. That's what makes the perfection. Is that there's people with problems and there's people who help people with problems. And the reason we're able to help someone with problems and have an ability to help someone with problems is so that we will not be put in that same place ourselves, maybe. Because we're all sometimes capable of being there. I think that's what it means, is bear one another's burdens. Is quit thinking about ourselves so much. You know, when someone has a problem, a lot of times we could be tempted to think, oh, I wish they wouldn't have their problems. And we begin to exalt ourselves and look over at other people with problems and think that we've really got it figured out. And we don't take the time to realize other people's problems. I mean, there's people that have serious issues in their lives, in spiritual lives. And we would just say, just get over it. We're tired of messing with it. But if you think about it just for a little bit, think about their problem. How would you like to have their problem? Instead of just looking at them and thinking they ought to just get over it, look at them and think, how would I handle their problem? If we would just trade places for a while, how would I like to be them? Or how would I like to have their problems? Do you want the problems of the person you're looking at? Do you want their problems? You have a good, proud attitude, and you might just wind up with them. you might get to learn what it's like to live with the struggles, the temptations, the pain, the torment that they have. And one of the things about most Christianity is, as soon as someone gets wounded, we treat them like a horse that breaks its leg. We just shoot them because we don't want to mess with them. But that's not what the church is supposed to be about. The church, when someone fails, or someone's weak, someone's struggling, someone's going through it, the way we're to handle it is with gentleness. Really look and analyze at their situation, their problem. Put yourself in that place. And bear with them like you would want born with. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's what it means to love our neighbor as ourselves. To bear one another's burdens. What is it? What do you got there? Okay. To actually bear one another's burdens is to put yourself in the place of their burden. We don't know what some people are going through. There's mental anguish that people have that no one can understand that doesn't know what it's about. There's people that have anxieties that they can't help themselves. It comes upon them. They're attacked. And it's brutal. They're poor in spirit. And it helps them to rely on the Lord. But for those who aren't going through those things, all we see is just someone that's just causing trouble or just a pain because they kind of mess up our life. But to bear one another's burdens is to put yourself in their place. Would you want to trade with them for a while? The next time you want to look down at somebody's nose, look down your nose at somebody else? The next time you think you're really flying high and why can't they just do that? Why can't they just be there? Think about it. Why don't you just ask the Lord, Lord, put me in their place for a while. Let's just trade. If you want to be proud. I don't think you'd want to. It's not too fun being in the place where everybody has to kind of look after you. But whenever we're trying to help someone, make sure that you would want treated the way they would, the way you would treat them, the way you would want to be treated in that same situation. That's what it means to love one another. That's what it means to bear one another's burden. It's not a burden to have problems. It's just part of the Lord's will. It's just the church. I've often said, it's not the people with problems that cause problems in church. It's those people that are flying high, that are strong, that don't have problems, that aren't weak, that are intolerant, that would rather shoot the sick, cast aside those that are causing problems. That's what really causes problems in church. It's strong people. The Bible tells us that the strong are to bear with the weaknesses. Bear one another's burdens and therefore thereby fulfill the law of Christ. No, we can look at all the rules. We can live by all the rules. It's pretty easy to do, just to live within a set of rules. I think that's why Jesus talked about the Beatitudes first. Because if we don't have those things, we have nothing. But let each one examine his own work. Whenever he's talking about this work here, that we examine ourselves, is not how well we perform. But is my work filled with caring for others, loving one another? Those are the things that are going to stand the test. Considering one another. That's what we need to look at. May the Lord add His blessings to His words. Help us be faithful. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
When you started out talking about that big crying to fail and then beat yourself up, you know, and I thought of the line in Rudyard Kipling's poem that says that to meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. Mm-hmm. A humble man sees triumph as an imposter just like disaster. Mm-hmm. I mean, treats them the same.
Right.
Oh well, I won. Oh well, I lost.
Right.
Or whatever. I did it, or I didn't do it.
Right.
You know, that's his line. That's his pretty neat.
God be